Successful people learn how to make their mind work for them. I'm David Nagel, and this is the Successful Mind Podcast.
All right, let's go. This is number three, and we're working on our belief here. Okay. So I think we've laid down a pretty interesting set of ideas, and let's pick it up with just running through the etymology of faith and belief again. Faith, again, is persuasion, and remember the root word is pithio, which means to convince. Belief comes from pistis, which means confidence or trust. Okay, so now we're going to get into the action, right? We've laid this belief down. We have a great picture of what it is that we want to do, and now we're getting into the action. I'm getting back into Waddell's work. He says, we have not yet reached the stage of development in which a person can create directly from the formless substance without nature's processes or the work of human hands. A person must act as well as think. Now, I always found it interesting ever since I picked up this book that he actually puts that in there. I really believe that to some extent, when we start going down that road, we go into magical thinking because we get outside of the law of cause and effect. Without getting into anything about physics, which I could go down that rabbit hole, but I'm not going to, let's just say that we probably don't know everything about the law of cause and effect in the world. But what we do know and what we need to put our confidence and trust in is what we know, what's for certain are effects based on causes that we know. That's it, period, okay? We don't want to mess around with the idea of gravity. We know how gravity works. We need to obey that law, and it's not affecting us in some negative way to believe in something different. We also know how to become very wealthy, okay? And that's what we're after here. So he says, by thought, you can cause the gold in the hearts of mountains to be impelled toward you, but it will not mine itself, refine itself, coin itself into double eagles and come rolling along the roads into your pocket. Under the impelling force of the supreme power, people's affairs will be so ordered that someone will be led to mine the gold for you, and another person's business transactions will be so directed that the gold will be brought toward you. You must arrange your own business affairs so that you're able to receive it when it comes to you. Okay, period. Stop right there, because this is what we have to understand. We have to understand that when we build the image and we have the faith and the belief and we're on that track headed to the result, that because we have that image of what we want to receive in our life, that it's going to be there somewhere on that track as we begin to move in that direction. That comes from a place of knowing, okay? You cannot develop an image of something that does not already exist. So even if it doesn't exist in the physical form, it exists in the etheric form, and that's what it is that you're getting an image of. So whether you have to create it yourself and, you know, I mean, really think about it like this. The only people that are really creating from that aspect or that way in life are like inventors, okay? If you're not an inventor, then everything that you want is already here. All the products, all the services, all the money, all the opportunity, all of that stuff is already here. If you are an inventor, then you already know that. You already know that you're thinking and imagining and dreaming up ways to do things or create things that haven't existed yet, and you know your process for inventing those things. So the idea is that we have to prepare ourselves to receive as it comes into our life. Your thought makes all things, animate and inanimate, work to bring you what you want. However, your personal activity must be such that you can rightly receive what you want when it reaches you. You are not to take it as charity or steal it. You must give every person more in use value than they give you in cash value. The scientific use of thought consists of forming a clear and distinct mental image of what you want, in holding fast to your purpose to get what you want, and in the realizing with grateful faith that you do get what you want. Do not try to project your thought into any mysterious or occult way with the idea of having it go out and do things for you. That's a wasted effort, and it will weaken your power to think with sanity. We call that magical thinking, by the way. Everything's based on the law of cause and effect. In the preceding chapters, I have fully explained the action of thought in getting rich. We already covered that in the first series of this. But you have to use your faith and your purpose to positively impress your vision upon the formless substance, which has the same desire for more life that you have. Now, this is also an important understanding. So when we talked about the second part of this, we said that, well, what are we going to put our trust in? What are we going to put our confidence in? It's going to be in the truth. Now, the one underlying or overall truth or modus operandi of the universe or spirit or God is more life. Everything is moving into a fuller expression of life, and it's consistently doing so, whether it is flowing through a human being or a tree or a toad or a piece of lettuce. It doesn't matter what it is. It's always moving everything through life. So energy works with and through forms, and it's continuously expressing itself in more life. Understanding that, then we understand that the further down this track we go, the more life we should be manifesting in our own life. That's why we don't want to keep setting goals from the same place for the same thing. It goes inherently against our purpose to do so. When we're setting goals for the same thing, the same way, over and over again, we're actually going against our own inherent truth for more. And folks, this is not greed. It's the natural, inherent, fundamental impulse of the universe for it to continue to create and move forward. So when you want something more than you wanted yesterday, when you want a better position at work, when you want to grow your business, when you want to buy a different house, when you want a better car, when you want to travel more, when you want more knowledge, what you're doing is that desire that you're experiencing is the life force flowing through you, expressing itself as the creation of itself, to keep creating further and fuller as it progresses down that same track of the experience of life. He says, and this vision received from you sets all of the creative forces at work in and through their regular channels of action, but directed toward you. So that means that when you hold the image with your mind, when you're operating with faith and purpose and belief, that everything that's already out there begins to then align itself with you, because now you're in alignment with it, okay? And this is the wild thing about it. Whatever it is that you're seeking, it is also seeking you. Whatever it is you're seeking, it also needs you for the completion of the life process itself. He goes on to say that it's not your part to guide or to supervise the creative process. All of that is already done. It's taken care of. That also falls under the information around the how, right? So we don't need to know how it's going to happen. That is not really our power. Our power is to decide it's going to happen. And I realize that can be like splitting hairs for people, but think about it like this. When we decide something's going to happen, we receive the information as to how it's going to happen. That will show up as an idea. It can show up as something in our imagination. It can show up as an opportunity from another person. It can show up, as recognizing a message or information within other things that we're going about our daily life that spring to different ideas that cause us to think different ways. That how always shows up. Every single time, it'll show up for us. Again, we have to make sure that the decision is unwavering, that our faith, our confidence, our trust is in the thing that we're doing, and that we believe that that is actually going to happen. He also says that all we have to do in this process is to retain our vision, stick to your purpose, and maintain your faith and gratitude. So, again, gratitude is coming into this. Gratitude is the emotional, positive expectation of a thing yet not realized in our reality. It is part of the image we're holding in our mind, but it is not yet part of our physical reality. Then we have to act in a certain way, which all that means is by law, according to these principles that I'm teaching, so that you can appropriate what is yours when it comes to you, so that you can accept the things that are in the picture that you're holding in your mind, and you could put them in their proper place. Like, for instance, if you were holding an image of a house in your mind, you wanted a new home, and, you know, we would instruct you, okay, so see the house, mentally walk your way through the inside of the house, see where the furniture is, see where all of your art or knickknacks or whatever, see where all of this stuff is in the house. Build that mental picture as clear as you possibly can so that as it shows up, you then put things in those proper places. He says, you can readily see the truth in this. When things reach you, they will be in the hands of other people who will ask an equivalent for them. I think that this thing that I just said, that when things reach you, they're going to be in the hands of other people who ask an equivalent for them, is probably one of the most misunderstood parts of the manifestation process for individuals. It's part of one of the most misunderstood parts of the belief process for individuals. And the reason is because very often we have either dysfunctional thinking or magical thinking around the idea of the way things should come into our life. If we have dysfunctional thinking around money, then we get really wonky when somebody comes up to us with exactly the thing that we want and they're saying it costs this much. Now, I want you to think about this. It doesn't matter what it is, right? When the thing that you want is being offered to you and somebody tells you what the price is, so many people make the huge error of then wanting to negotiate with the cost, because they were raised that they should get it cheap. Now think about where you're coming from with your own mental attitude around this and with your own belief around it. If you expected something and somebody brought it to you and it wasn't what you wanted, it was not complete. Like you said you wanted a new car, but they showed up at your front door with it and it was missing two tires. Would that be satisfactory? Is that what you asked for? You get a house, but it doesn't have a roof, or it has no indoor plumbing, right? Is that what you want? Is that going to be satisfactory? Probably not. It probably wouldn't be with anything. Whatever it is that you want it in the completeness of whatever your desire is. So when it shows up and somebody asks for its equivalent, which is basically payment, by the way, and we begin to negotiate with that, we're not expressing gratitude. We're expressing dissatisfaction with the way in which it's showing up. So immediately we begin to repel the very thing that we want. Now, let's say that something shows up for you, because you might be thinking to yourself, well, what's the difference? I got it already. I have it already. Here it is. So how is that going to repel it? Well, think about it like this. Let's say that the thing that you want shows up, and you find out it's going to cost you more financially than you thought you were going to pay for it. Now your mind goes to, let me see if I can get the price down so I can actually afford this thing, instead of, I am so grateful that this showed up. The way to pay for it must also be here, because that is the way that the law works. Instantaneously, your mind went to only looking at a fraction of the truth. So you were only looking at one fact. You were not taking in the entire truth, that if your desire is bringing you what you want, it's showing up in your life in the hands of somebody else, they're asking an equivalent for it, that the ability to get that money or whatever the resources you need to make the trade for what you want has to be here also. But most people flip their mind over to a different place and they cause more problems. Now, do people go out and also make great deals? Yeah, they do. They absolutely do. I think that it's very important to understand where that motivation is coming from, though. So I don't want to get too far down that rabbit hole, because that could be one that gets very difficult to get out of. I think that it gives you more power if you say to yourself, whatever shows up in whatever way it shows up, I have the ability to be able to meet that need, because that is where I'm choosing to put my faith, my trust, and my confidence. He says, receiving is the crucial point in the science of getting rich, right here, where thought and personal action must be combined. There are many people who consciously or unconsciously set the creative force in action by the strength and the persistence of their desires. However, they remain poor because they do not provide for the reception of the thing when it comes. By thought, the thing you want is brought to you. By action, you receive it. Whatever your action is to be, it is evident that you must act now. Okay? Now, this is also very important, because any delay is basically coming from your evaluation of a fact that you have a story wrapped around, and that is probably something that is attaching a non-truth or a partial reality to something, and literally you begin repelling it. He said, you must act now. You want it now. You desire it now. The opportunity is now. Don't look at a part of the fact of your life where something is not lining up, because you have to get that lined up in your mind before you get it lined up in the physical. So that could be, do I have enough money? Do I have enough time? Do I have enough of a resource? Whatever it is it might be. He says, you cannot act in the past. It is essential to the clearness of your mental vision that you dismiss the past from your mind. You cannot act in the future because the future is not here yet, and you cannot tell how you will want to act in any future contingency until that contingency has arrived. Because you are not in the right business or at the right environment now, do not think that you must postpone action until you get into the right business or the right environment. And do not spend time in the present planning of the best course of possible future emergencies. Have faith in your ability to meet any emergency when it arrives. If you act in the present with your mind on the future, your present action will be with a divided mind and you will not be effective. You need to put your whole mind into the present action. Do not give your creative impulse to the original substance and then sit down and wait for results. If you do so, you will never get them. Act now. There is never any time but now, and there never will be any other time but now. If you are ever to begin to make ready for the reception of what you want, you must begin now. Your action must be in your present business or employment, and it must be upon the persons and things in your present environment. Now think about what he's about to say here. You cannot act where you're not. You cannot act where you have been. You cannot act where you're going to be. You can only act where you are. Do not dwell on whether yesterday's work was well or poorly done. Do today's work well. Do not try to do tomorrow's work now. There'll be plenty of time for that. to do tomorrow. Do not try by mystical or magical means to act on people or things that are out of your reach. Do not wait for a change of environment before you act. Cause a change of environment through action. You can act upon your present environment so as to cause yourself to be transferred to a better environment. So all of this, what he's saying is that if you have the picture, if you have the desire, your understanding, engaging your faith and your belief, that it all boils down to this moment in time. And this moment in time is very, very important to understand that it is of supreme importance. It absolutely is of supreme importance. There is a reason that is probably beyond our understanding as to why we're getting the idea or the desire now, why we have the very specific opportunities or even lack of opportunities, I'll say, and I'll get to that in a second, why that's actually happening to us right now. Because everything's part of a whole or a grander scheme of life. All of these different things that we want, these desires to get things, to be things, to do things, to have things, all of this stuff does something to grow us personally, to make us a bigger, better, more stronger vessel in which life can both flow through and express itself through. But in to do all of these steps in the now, it requires that we grow. And with the things that we perceive that we don't have, that's like a compass pointing its way to true north. It's saying, here's the things and here's the place that you need to grow as a person right here in this moment. When we put it off, all the things that are in alignment are no longer in alignment. So many people make what they consider errors because they're not taking action on the very specific time that it is showing up in their life. There's a reason it's showing up now. And it is a perfect reason why it's showing up now. We can justify, we can analyze, we can rationalize our way around all different kinds of things and say, now is not the time, now is not this. The other thing is this. Let's say you have a big desire or a big idea for something that has multiple parts and stages to it. That doesn't mean that all of it is supposed to be done now. Only the part that can be done now is what is required to do now. So that is, what is the decision and what is the first action that we're taking in that direction? So then he says, if we need something that we don't currently have, or we're not in what we would consider the right place. Like if we know that ultimately we have to move to a different environment, so that's an example that he gives us. If we take action now in the environment that we're in now, instead of waiting till we get to a different environment, we have the ability to change that environment. But we're creating the thing that we want as we go through it. He goes on, hold with faith and purpose the vision of yourself in a better environment, but act upon your present environment with all of your heart, with all of your strength, and with all of your mind. Do not spend any time in daydreaming or castle building. Hold to the one vision of what you want and act now. Do not cast about seeking some new thing or do some new strange, unusual, or remarkable action to perform as a first step toward getting rich. For some time to come, your actions will probably be the same as those that you have been performing, but now you will perform those actions in the certain way. You'll have your train track. You're going to have your faith, and you're going to have your belief, by which will surely bring you the thing that you desire. If you're engaged in some business or anything else and feel that it is not right for you, do not wait until you get into the right thing before you begin to act. Do not feel discouraged or sit down or lament because you're in the wrong place. No person was so ever misplaced that he could not find the right place, and no person was ever so involved in the wrong business or thing that he could not get into the right business or thing. The story that I tell about when I worked on a dock and I had no education, I had a poor work record, I had a terrible attitude, I had built a really tight, small little box right around my life. I had a mountain of responsibilities that I could not fulfill, and I had worked myself right into a corner time-wise and financially-wise as far as filling up every moment of my life with nothing that could be moved to get out. I did not wait and to start someplace different. I changed my attitude, which was a composite of my faith and my belief at the time, and it immediately began to change my circumstances and my environment. My income tripled. I went to work for a different company, and it was brought to me. The opportunity came to me. I didn't have to do anything weird, wild, or wonderful, or you know, go running around looking for something. It actually came to me. But I was working while I did it. I was putting those ideas to action. My whole business, my whole company for 20 years has been run on that idea. And for 20 years, we've never been without business. The business has always been growing. We work with wonderful people. We get to help amazing people all over the world. So the people that I work and that I help, their lives turn around exactly the same way. If you were to sit down and talk to them, you would think to yourself, look at how lucky these people are. Look at all the breaks, all the amazing circumstances that came into their life. It wasn't luck. It was that they changed these two things about themselves, their faith and their belief. They got those things in the correct alignment. They got a higher understanding of what it is that they wanted for themselves. They held a vision of themselves in a higher place and held it with the purpose and the faith to get it. So as they did that, everything began to change. And with all of them, it began to change instantly. It even if they worked with me for years, all that was a progression of consistently building in the direction that they wanted to go and building bigger, building better, building more productive. But everything for those people changed instantly. I don't spend a lot of time working with people that don't do that because what ends up happening is the more that they think that they're trying, but they're not getting the result, they convince themselves that it's not working. So they actually use their belief in a negative way. If you're doing that with yourself, you got to stop doing that immediately and say, whoa, just stop for a minute. There's something about this that I don't understand. Let me get a solid of understanding before I go out there and attempt to do this again. Otherwise, I'm building a belief in the wrong direction. And then I'm looking at great information that has the ability to take my life further, and it's not actually working for me, which is a belief you do not want to create for yourself, right? It becomes increasingly difficult to break those beliefs once you start creating them. Not saying that you can't. You absolutely can. And a person can do that really quick also. But if you've consistently built a belief that you can't without any evidence that you can, you're backing yourself into a corner of what you can't do in life. So that's the idea around what we're working with here with belief. Your vision and faith will set the creative force in motion to bring everything toward you, and your action will cause the forces in your own environment to move toward you to the place that you want. So that's really what it is that we're doing. And I'll do more on belief in the future. But I would take these three lessons and really, really study them. Just go over them and over them and over them. And anybody that's struggling in their life that you're aware of, you know, tell them about the podcast and have them really start to study those three lessons. Start applying this to anything in your life that you want, and you're going to watch it change really quick. Let us know. Tell us about your wins. We can't wait to hear about them. That's it for now. Take care. Thanks for listening to the Successful Mind Podcast. And if you like what you heard and you want to know more, go to davidnagel.com/freestuff.